This is an Aero News Touch and Go for November 20th, 2007. I'm Paul Plagg. ANN has confirmed in an exclusive conversation with Cirrus founder Alan Klappmeyer that the company will not bid for the ownership of the assets of Columbia Aircraft, currently on the block and slated to be sold in a bankruptcy auction in just a few days. Klappmeyer noted that making Columbia a viable addition to its own product line, quote, will not be cheap, unquote. He says continued development of the jet should remain the highest priority at Cirrus. The other big shoe that dropped in the Columbia bankruptcy saga on Monday belonged to Granger Whitelaw, who announced that his group has also decided not to bid. That announcement leaves just two serious players left in the bidding for Columbia, industry behemoth Cessna Aircraft and Aero newcomer Park Electric. In his letter to Columbia employees, Whitelaw suggested he believes Columbia employees may yet end up working with his group. Quote, we remain committed to the future of Columbia and are willing to play a role in its future growth should such an opportunity present itself without dishonesty and with the proper time to properly structure and build for its future, unquote. It was another close call for aircraft operating under the control of Chicago Center. On Saturday morning, for the second time in a week, two aircraft came closer than the rules allow in the skies over the Midwestern U.S. The latest incident occurred when a Cessna C-208 Caravan, flying from Chicago's Midway Airport to Soldiers Grove, Wisconsin, came within 1.3 miles laterally and 500 feet vertically of a Cirrus SR-22 that had just departed from Lone Rock, Wisconsin for Faribault, Minnesota. NATCA's Chicago Center facility rep, Jeffrey Richards, did concede that Saturday's incident occurred not because of understaffing per se, but rather miscommunication between controllers at his facility and their counterparts in Madison about how much airspace needed to be blocked off for the departing Cirrus. As that conversation was going on, controllers at Chicago Center switched the Caravan to the local traffic advisory frequency to land at Soldiers Grove. FAA spokesman Tony Molinaro said despite two incidents in the same week, overall errors at the Chicago facility have decreased since 2003. There was another close call in the nation's skies last week, although it didn't garner headlines. The FAA says that's because the two planes involved in this example really didn't come all that close. NATCA is claiming that understaffing and overwork is responsible for a breach of minimum aircraft separation November 11th over Fresno, California. The FAA has downplayed that incident. The agency admits that the regs do call for 5 miles separation, but says the two small passenger jets which came within 4 miles of each other were never on a collision course and had each other in sight. What is known is that a controller, working on his seventh day in a row on his second overtime shift, according to the controllers' union, apparently made a mistake. Scott Condi, NATCA president at the Oakland Air Route Traffic Control Center, described what happened. Quote, the controller involved stopped the departure at 21,000 feet and then tried to apply visual separation rules. The problem is that visual separation rules are only allowed below 18,000 feet, unquote. FAA spokesman Ian Greger says that what the union calls a close call was little more than a minor breach of regulations. Condi disputes that assertion, noting the controller in question was charged by the FAA with an operational error. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you about these stories. TSA must have missed the memo about avoiding holiday airline delays. A Navy commander is relieved of his command after a DUI arrest. And the Air Force amends its CSAR-X bid specs yet again. Also, check out the ANN special feature. Today my guest is Doug Cairns, a former British RAF pilot and instructor who lost his career to type 1 diabetes, came to the U.S. to regain his medical, then flew around the world to encourage others fighting the disease. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.